The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Now, people are telling us that their family members are driving them crazy in this lockdown, that they've never had to spend so much of their waking hours in close contact with each other. And whether they're, you know, children or teenagers or adults, they can irritate the life out of each other. So when you've got a crew of more than 100 people on board a submarine, there is bound to be conflict. How do you manage that?
So I think there's, I mean, if I share a few elements that go with controlling or basically giving something that supports families through this. So submariners are trained to operate the submarine, and you can't train somebody to go away for 90 days, but you build that experience, and you do that by a few things. First one's about routine. So you get into a routine very, very quickly on board a submarine, because that routine is there to keep you safe and to keep you focused. And I think that translates to living at home with loved ones or friends. And even if you're living on your own, making sure that you have a routine or able to stick to it and give yourself times to do particular things, that gives you focus. There's a piece about cleanliness, but lots of people living in a house, you need to keep it clean. So if you get the whole family, the whole team focused on cleaning regularly, daily, that gives you a clean environment to live, and that makes it slightly easier. There's a piece about downtime, and that's downtime from some of the media. I mean, it's 24-hour media at the moment. Everybody wants to know what's going on instantly, but that can sometimes be exceptionally negative. Therefore, you need to take downtime from that, and you also need to take downtime from those within the house. So find somewhere where you can be alone. And then probably the biggest one is about deconfliction. So you're absolutely right. There are niggles. There is friction on board a submarine. I mean, that's 130 people. We weren't friends at school. We've all been placed in a steel tube together. We've got one mission, which is a great focus. But individual personality traits come out during that period of time. So early deconfliction is key. Have the discussions about what is irritating you, and explain it, and then try and find a collaborative way and give way yourself, because you might not think that you're irritating, but there will be things about you that irritate others. And that giving enables deconfliction. And then probably the last one is about communicating. Talk to other people outside. Now, you can imagine within a submarine that you can't do that. I just said you can't do that. But yeah, Talking to other people within the submarine and not the small group you might be with, so sonar operators talking to sonar operators or whatever else, you talk to other people. And actually that communications path becomes vital to managing this whole situation.
And for sometimes,
I was just going to say, the final thing is there's an end to this, and there will be an end to this, and there will be a recovery. And therefore, although we don't know when it is, and we don't know when it is, but we know that it will happen. Therefore, we've got to focus on that as an end state.
Now, one of the things on board a submarine, obviously, is that there's a roster of duties. I mean, everyone has a job to do. They have to maintain their own kit. You know, this tendency that some people have when they're off work, and now people are off work for protracted periods, they go around in their pajamas all day. But in terms of a roster for household duties, for example, is that a good idea if you've got, you know, able-bodied teenagers and adults all in the same house? A roster of duty like you'd have on a submarine, make sure everyone pulls their weight.
Yeah, absolutely. Having that roster and who's responsible for what is great. And I suspect that all parents are thinking the same thing, but to be able to get their teenagers to do that might be difficult in some cases. But the fact is, this is an unprecedented situation. We all have to live in this close environment, and people need to pull their weight. And I think by focusing on that, and also focusing on what the reason why we're doing this, is to prevent the spread of COVID-19 and to give our health services the ability to maintain control. And this is our contribution. So if you're a part of that roster is cleaning the living room, that's you contributing to those two things. And whilst it might seem small, and whilst you might not think it's significant, it is, because it gives the health services time to start gaining control of this and will save lives.
Now, one of the things that people will do in lockdown is they'll decide to do something new. They might read books. They might try to learn a language. They might dig out grandfather's saxophone from the attic and decide to learn the saxophone. You decided to learn a musical instrument on board a submarine. What happened?
So I decided to, when we went away for 286 days, I decided to do the guitar. By the time we came back, I was relatively proficient, but at the early stages, probably not. And whilst my cabin, my very small 3 by 9 foot cabin, is right up in the operations centre, so it's where they do that, I would go back to my cabin to relax by learning the guitar. But the impact of that on my team was probably a little irritating. But luckily, we had good communication, so they came and shared that with me. And then I'd go find somewhere else to play it for a little while until I got more proficient.
Okay, plonk, 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 plonk. Enough, Captain, enough. Now, you were also on the oil rigs for a while after you left the submarine business. What was the difference between being on an oil rig and being in a submarine?
So both of the living in isolation, without a doubt. The difference is communications paths. So on the submarine, like I said, you don't get communications from your family, and therefore it's sort of controlled, the stress that families will feel without having whoever there is with them isn't transferred onto the person that's on board the submarine. So that's quite important, and it's a hard gig for the families, without a doubt. But for the guy or girl who's going out and fighting the submarine, that removes one of the elements. But on an oil rig, there's 24/7 communications. So basically what you've got is great bandwidth, full internet access. And so the communications paths are slightly different. So you had to deal with problems that people will be having with families, however small, however big. They become basically enhanced when you're in that offshore environment. And that was a really different challenge leadership-wise for me, making sure that you still kept everybody safe, you still enabled productivity, and yet you managed that communications path to make sure the families and the individuals were looked after.
Yeah, because I can imagine that a small spat at home or an event that's upsetting people at home, they then just get on with it, but you're left thinking about it, and it festers with you, because you can't be there to help them handle that situation. But they will move on very quickly, but you can't. You're kind of stuck there feeling helpless.
Yeah, exactly that. And I mean, that's a really good summary of the situation. So I think enabling the ability to, once again, talk about whatever that issue is and listen with empathy as to what the problem is, not offer solutions, because you can't do that all the time, and then get them to retalk, generally gives them confidence going forward. I mean, it's a very high-risk environment on an oil rig, and therefore you want to make sure people are focused on that and not whatever the issue is, which goes back to that piece about active deconfliction and communication.
Now, a couple of questions from our listeners. How do you tackle those difficult people who won't change their annoying habits? Now, it could be something like someone who whistles when they go about their business. And the second question, what about onboard romances? Because that's a possibility, 130 people?
So I'll take the second one first, if I might. So we have in the Royal Navy, there's a thing called the Code of Social Conduct, which prohibitively bans all of that whilst at sea. So in my time on board a submarine, I never saw that. It could happen, but not whilst, it shouldn't happen whilst you're at sea, because otherwise you're breaking military law effectively. The second one about the annoying habits. So it won't turn off instantly, because somebody whistles regularly, that's just it's just something they do. So you need to keep on telling them, but in a constructive way, until such times as they understand it. They won't do it. They won't switch off immediately if they've done that forever. So you need to keep on telling them until they get the point.
Okay. I think that probably is a listener referring to something that's happening in their own home the moment. Ryan, how was it, you know, in a submarine? I would think I would feel terribly claustrophobic, but you obviously have to have the personality and the aptitude for this kind of thing. But I'd be thinking of where I am. It's a bit like some people are nervous about flying, which I'm not. But you think you're 35,000 feet in the air, and if anything goes wrong, well, it is curtains. And we've all heard about submarine disasters where things go wrong, and maybe a system breaks down, your oxygen system. You had one such air problem that could have led to your demise.
So if I take the first one, you're taking the most complex platform that the United Kingdom military owns and operating it somewhere less explored than space with 130 people, and you're doing it autonomously. You're on your own and off you go. There is support available, but usually during a patrol cycle, you wouldn't use that support. You're dealing with everything yourself. So you're right. It could be, you could regard it as quite scary, but the reality is that all submariners are exceptionally trained professionals. And you don't go anywhere without having done huge amounts of training to make sure that you're able to deal with every situation. On this particular occasion, this was a situation that we couldn't have foreseen in what happened in basic terms in the Indian Ocean, which is pretty hot. We're on the surface and all the air conditioning plants failed, which raised the temperature massively within the submarine and really very quickly, which caused a variety of casualties, which I have to say my team are amazing at dealing with. And then in basic terms, it was about trying to rapidly find the solution in order to recover the situation to avoid any further demise of that situation, which we did. So, that was a wicked problem where we used all the skill sets that we'd used for training for other operations and emergencies in order to recover the situation.
I was reading about that event, and the temperature on board soared to 60 degrees Celsius, which is 140 degrees Fahrenheit. I mean, that is just unimaginable heat, so I could imagine how people might be collapsing. The final question, which is not, I suppose, that relevant to people who are isolated at home, but it could in some ways, if there are casualties to this COVID-19, but in your case, if someone is bereaved and you get the word as captain that someone has lost a loved one at home and you're at sea and you've another 40 days to go, what do you do with that information?
So the protocols are pretty clear. If you couldn't withdraw and or get the man or woman back home, then you'd hold on to that information. So in basic terms, the captain and one radio supervisor will know that's happened, and you keep that information until the moment that you can actually tell them. All the submariners know this, by the way, before they sail, that if that happens on a patrol, that it might happen. However, they won't know until the end of the patrol. And then, command is a real privilege, but this is one of the downsides of it, but is to deliver the tragic news later than they should know, knowing that funerals have happened and life's moved on for some parts of those families, and they've got to readjust accordingly. And I tell you that the Navy's brilliant about how they deal with and look after people as soon as the news has been given, and we get them off as soon as possible, get them back to the UK, counselling, everything else that they need in order to be looked after. There's nothing you can do about it. That's part of the sacrifice that sailors within the submarine service make in order to serve their country.
Well, Ryan, what a fascinating life you have had, and thank you very much for giving us insights into it and the lessons that we can learn for our own, I suppose, far less challenging isolation at the moment. Ryan Ramsay, former captain of the Royal Navy nuclear submarine, the HMS Turbulent. Ryan, thank you very much for joining us on the programme today.